Blog Talk Radio.
Divine all blessings.
the Divine Prince and Baba Oregunwa for our Ifa Wednesdays, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, and revolutionary from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin, and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Again, our live listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and we will be more than happy to assist you. I am going to go to the phone lines at this time. Area code 510. Your hand is raised. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Obafemi Oregunwa, calling from Oakland, California. Sending blessings and cool breeze to you all. If it's anywhere as warm where you are as it is here, I pray that you get plenty of cool breezes and find lots of shade.
Ashe, we have we've had an interesting weather pattern. We're normally very warm this time of year in the 80s or so, but the last 2 days we've gotten down as low as 50 at night, which is very unusual. While Avarisha was here having some of her initiation work done, on the last day, I believe Monday, I actually had to bring out a leather coat. It was actually that cool. And that's something I rarely ever do. I didn't take out a coat all winter last year here in New Orleans. So it's indeed some unusual things happening right now with the weather. And I, of course, give thanks for your being present here with us on the Power Lunch. Baba Ifa Sakin has not called in, and he's not showing up on the phone lines. So we're going to pray that everything is okay with him. He usually would at least let me know something was going on. I can only assume that it might be an emergency, and I don't want to assume the worst, you know. But he's not with us, so it'll just be you and I. We have a handful of people on the phone lines, and I do invite them as we move forward into the show to press number 1 and become a part of our conversation. So I'm going to just take a quick break and take a sip of water real quick, and then we'll move forward with Ifa Wednesday, if that's all right with you, Baba.
Absolutely. I'm going to get myself some water as well so I can get some of that coolness I was praying for that the rest of the world would have.
Yes, indeed. All is blessed.
Ashe.
Oguye.
Are. Ogunde. Are. Ogunde.
Awaniye. Awaniye.
Ogunde.
Arere, awani leo, ogu maribo, maribo ye, ogu arere o kalawede, ogu susulona, kumbo kumbo kum. Bobo araun to la siete abalo gun en el eso lo tumare. Ogun rele kumeseo gun. Ana María Mendoza. Cucañengo Milana. Ogun toyegu y Fredo Jaramillo. Padre mío celestial libre nos dicuano araye. Tiya tiya eleno funfun. Aina, bobo so bullo. Pa' que nos dé ireo mo ireo ma ire de guanto loco. Salud, tranquilidad. Padre sin vivimiento. Padre mío, todas las cosas que usted tenga en el plano de esta arapa, este su humo, hecho panigua, y huevo y boro caleno, denle la bendición para que usted con su manto cubre de todas las cosas malas que hay en el plano de esta tierra, que nadie se pueda librar, usted se lo quita.
Agua,
quita machete a la cura, la bendición del marino papi batá,
agua,
toda la ciencia, caleno,
agua,
y ahí es un final de su panigua con su mocha,
agua,
what we do that is indeed business, and we're going to talk about that. I played an MP3 last week where Baba Eva Sakin began to open the conversation about business and prosperity and finances in terms of mental health, interracial lifestyles, and how we bring balance to that. So when I had the opportunity to bring people here, first, it's humbling. It's indeed humbling when people from all over the world, now we all are online, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this show if you had no connection to the internet. So we all have our ideals and our apprehensions and our beliefs and our understanding about what the internet is and what goes on the internet. So I'm always humbled and honored off the top when people feel comfortable enough, secure enough, clear enough to seek me out, to want to come here and make me a part of their experience here in the city of New Orleans. So that have being said, I always take any visitor and their coming here as a very major event, often to the point of not sleeping and not eating and making sure that certain details are in place. You know, you have to navigate traffic, as with any city. You have to navigate weather. You have to navigate changes in the itinerary with the understanding that people are going to take this experience home with them and internalize it as a part of not only their, excuse the expression, tourism experience with New Orleans, but also as a part of their experience and contact anywhere in the world with tradition or religion. So it's a serious thing for me. So over the weekend, I had guests. My godparents had guests in, and we're doing initiations, and you know we're going about our activities and shopping and getting supplies and introducing and making connections for your guests with people in the community at your various stops along the way. And what became crystal clear to me in the process was the Ebo involved, even to the degree that we don't necessarily identify non-religious things as a part of Ebo, but activity, our work, our efforts are indeed a part of Ebo. And it became clear to me that we work together, collectively working Ebo for the good of Orisha, for the good of Ifa, not just here, but worldwide. And it's hard for me personally to think about that and process that without thinking about the work. And when I'm often, if not daily, several times a day asked, what makes it work, what do you do that's different? After we explain, initiation, after we explain all the processes, which unfortunately many of you are looking to subvert or look over or take a shortcut through, let's keep it real. I'm approached by people who expect to do what I do overnight or in the process of a weekend, with as little effort on their part as possible. And right. And in many cases, with as little financial investment on their part, as possible. So when people truly commit to the work and understand what Ebo is and how Ebo affects the ashe, the power, the manifestation of all that we do, that we say, that we believe in, that we walk in, that is indeed why I claim result-oriented work, because I'm going to do the work. And if you're going to be a part of the process with me, you too are going to do the work. And my godparents, I say it all the time, Mama Yeye wouldn't have it any other way. Any of you who know Mama Yeye know Mama Yeye likes to cuss. Mama Yeye will get aggressive. Mama Yeye will get loud, and operating from a spiritual perspective, I totally get that. I totally respect that about her. And that's why I'm still operating under her tutelage as a godchild. So, you know, we're going out about the work, and, you know, we've gone to the store maybe five times, you know, and my neighbors are involved because we need transportation, and you can't, you know, always call a hail a cab, you know, and spend a whole bunch of money in a cab. So other people become a part of the process, voluntarily, involuntarily, knowingly, unknowingly, but become a part of the process. And spirit takes over, and people begin to share their stories. They may not speak in a language that we within Ifa and Lakomi understand, but people begin to speak in spiritual terms around you, even though they have no idea what's really going on. You know, because people ask, you know, well, how long are you in town, and what are you doing here, and, you know, or they assume that you're here for one of the more stereotypical tourist-based things. And then, because I often don't say anything, I allow the visitor to speak for themselves. And you know, and then when they say, well, no, I'm not here for that. You know, I'm here to do some other things. You know, and it becomes clear the work is being done. People on the outside looking in are often amazed at the amount of work that's being done, the amount of effort that's being put into the process of serving Arisha and serving Ifa. So there is, for me, no greater testament to the work than that. You know, why else would I do it? Why else would I bother? Why else would I put forth all the effort if it were not effective for me? And effective for the people around me, and clearly for those who are seeking and who are observing in spirit, for them to be able to see that enough to identify and then want to step forward with time, money, resources, travel. You know, traveling by plane is not easy anymore. You all know that. You know, going in and out of airports and having your hair pond over and your items pined over, and you know, it's a lot of effort involved in serving spirit, whatever your religious path. I have no argument with the Christian. I have no argument with the Muslim. I have no argument with the Rastafarian, other than that they commit to that, which their own path, which their own doctrine asks for, contracts for. And when we all begin to do that, the work is then being done, and the manifestation is evident, the change is evident, the healing is evident, the prosperity is evident, the moving of mountains and forces, so that the things that spirit would have to be can be becomes evident. Baba, are you with me?
Absolutely.
I most certainly want to allow you free will today to do as you will. As I said before, Baba Ifa Satin is not here. We have a few people on the phone lines. No one has raised their hand, and I'm going to allow you now to speak. I just wanted to get that off my chest while it was fresh, because it's all over me right now.
Yeah,
like an anointing. You know, I'm almost vibrating just with the energy of what we're doing and what's happening, not just for me personally, like I see, but for our community and for New Orleans and for Ifa.
Yes. Well, you know, as you were, everything that you described in that release of, you know, what is it, the frustration of doing the work, the frustration of not just doing the work, but interacting with the people in the process of doing the work, I'm hearing you describe, well, you know, you've got this background understanding that, hey, everything that's transpiring in the process of making this ceremony, doing the sacrifice, pulling all the things together, all of this is part of the medicine. And when the more mindful the person is who is undergoing that process about it, the more healing and insight they're going to gain from it. And it kind of diminishes the work when we're carrying it out without that level of consciousness. And one of the things that I love about Ifa is that Ifa is so practical and so real. You know, Oromila himself came to the world. One of his missions was to come to the world and teach us the way of what the Buddhists call right livelihood. You know, it was Oromila who came and taught us the division of labor and how to do things. And there's one verse of Ifa that we have that kind of illuminates that idea, which comes from Ogundaika. Ogundaika says that he woke up and put on a garment of specialization. He put on a cap of specialization. He wore trousers of specialization. He was looking with the eyes of specialization, which means he was using his expert eye. They said, Oromila, the delegate of Olodumare, had arrived. He demanded to know what the people had brought with him. They responded that he came with 200 rats in his right hand. He had 200 fish in his left hand. Oromila declared that the delegate of Olodumare has not yet arrived. He woke up and put on a garment of specialization. He put on a cap of specialization. He wore trousers of specialization. He was looking with the eyes of specialization. They said, Oromila, the delegate of Olodumare, had arrived. He demanded to know what they had brought with him. They responded that he had come with 200 birds in his right hand and 200 animals in his left hand. Oromila declared that the delegate of Olodumare had not yet arrived. He woke up and put on a garment of specialization. He put on a cap of specialization. He wore trousers of specialization. He was looking with the eyes of specialization. And they said, Oromila, the delegate of Olodumare, had arrived. He demanded to know what that he had brought with him. He responded that he had come with 200 men on his right and 200 women on his left. Oromila declared that it was then that the delegate of Olodumare had truly arrived. So it was when he brought the people. In other words, all of those things were the building point. That was coming up to the climax. But it wasn't until the arrival of those 200 men and those 200 women that we could say that, yes, the delegate of Olodumare had arrived. They demanded to know why it was then that the delegate of Olodumare had just arrived. He responded that out of the 200 men on his right and the 200 women on the left, of the 200 men that were on the right side, 25 would specialize in hunting. 25 would specialize in farming. 25 would specialize in trading or business. 25 would specialize in cloth weaving. 25 would specialize in singing. 25 would specialize in sculpting. 25 would specialize in smithing, working iron and metal. The remaining 25 would specialize in doing the work of Ifa. From the 200 females on the left, 25 would specialize in merchandising or selling. 25 would specialize in petty trading. 25 would specialize in farming. 25 would specialize in singing. 25 would specialize in weaving cloth. 25 would specialize in processing palm oil. 25 would specialize in midwifery. The remaining 25 would specialize in cooking for Ifa. Behold, one's children are one's success in the end. One's children are one's success in the end. Whether we make frequent trips to the forest or to the plains, one's children are one's success in the end. The children, therefore, are the ones who will pick it up. Once we have laid out the work that Oromila has assigned to us, we pass it on to our children as apprentices. And so in the same way that you were describing, where you're there with Mama Yeye, and you are acting as her apprentice, and she has her character and you have hers, and sometimes it's hot and sometimes it's not. But all the same, you understand the value of what she's adding to your trade, what she's adding to your ability to deliver on that ancestral promise and be what your Ordi has commanded that you will be. And the more capable that people are of really picking up on the divine message, the divine mission that each of us has come to do, the easier it becomes to add that sacred vision, you know, without it being something so esoteric and far away. It's that everyday mundane work of sewing beads, vacuuming floors, cooking meals, raising children, being good neighbors, fixing cars, painting houses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things are part of our divine mission if we allow ourselves to see it that way, take it in that way, and respond to it that way. And one of the things that had been on my mind from a couple of days ago, I emailed you a couple of days about the imagery and the icons of the divinities, and it came to me so heavily because there's a young man down in Atlanta who's a photographer, and that's his craft, that's his trade, that's his, you know, that's what he does, and he depicted the divinities according to, you know, a cursory glance at some online resources, and from that, he used his mind's eye to create some images of the divinities because that's his work. Some people received it really well. Other people received it, you know, not very well. And some people were just kind of, you know, angry about the whole thing. And all that is to be expected. But it dawned so heavily on me because of what you were describing around the mindfulness. You know, I think a lot of people were upset about it because, you know, they weren't seeing the depth of inner vision from a liturgical, from a religious perspective. You know, he hadn't written in the sacred text to the images. He took the, you know, kind of superficial glance and pulled it together. So it was kind of tinny and hollow. But at the same time, he was honoring what Romila has described, what he has naturally. And now, you know, as I watch the discussion online unfold, I see that he's adding more depth and more accuracy to his depictions of the divinities. But the real reason why I think it's a super-duper opportunity for us as a community of worshipers and devotees is that we as a collective have to integrate in order for us to go forward this, you know, what you had mentioned earlier about this wave of commercialism. The wave of commercialism is only going to be detrimental to the extent that we do not assume responsibility for infusing all of that commercialism with authentic insight and authentic content. You know, we it's our responsibility. We can't depend on whoever it is in China that will be mass producing tens of thousands of posters or tens of thousands of keychains and T-shirts. They don't know and they don't care. They just make a shirts product. But if we want it to be accurate and to really reflect the blessing and the wisdom that Ifa has given to each one of us, well, then we've got to, you know, we've got to put that, we've got to take responsibility and conquer the means of production. We've got to conquer the channels of distribution because that is part of our divine charge as well. We're not just meant to be in the shrine praying, chanting, and doing these other things. Those are indispensable, but we've got to get out there and make it feasible for us as a community, as a group of people, you know?
You know, I've heard that message strongly in the undertone of the pataki that you read because I kept hearing specialization. And we often, you know, our first, you know, like a love affair, you know, drawn to the romance and the appearance of Orisha and Lakomi. But at some point, we have to settle into our specialization. for lack of better words, our individual selves, to find what our contribution is, to find what our specialization is. I think too many of us come in wanting to be at the top, you know, wanting to be, you know, Babalao, wanting to be a Yanifa, and not understanding what all the work is that goes along with that. And it goes along with even arriving at the place of being ready to even take on the responsibility of those roles. And there's so many other roles that need to be filled. There are things that I'm doing that I would love to have other people to do. I'm cooking.
Yes.
I spend a lot of time just cooking, you know, all the food, you know, for Egoons and for ceremonies and stuff. So I clearly heard talent, as the Bible calls them, or specialization of gifts, of anointing, and using that to further develop the whole, whether it be your ELA, your house, or your community, or the EFI community as a whole, as a living entity, if you will. We do have several other people on the phone line at 347-215-8967. We do appreciate your time and your presence, and we invite you to press the number one on your telephone keypad, and we will most certainly bring you into the conversation. I'm going to take just a brief break, and then we will be forward with more EFI Wednesdays here on the Power Lunch. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Agayujolanyo, Baba, Sela, Inya, Sela, Yo.
Agayujolanyo, Baba, Sela, Inya, Sela, Yo.
Agayujolanyo, Baba, Sela, Inya, Sela, Yo. Agayujolanyo, Baba Sela Inya Sela Yo.
Choro, el ecue mi choro, agayu.
Choro, el
to deepen our communication, our, you know, with the the natural forces in response to what is happening? How do we engage it? I'm a little uncertain about that.
That is a wonderful question. And both Baba Orgunwa and myself have a response for that, I'm sure. We sort of talked about that briefly on previous shows to your call. So sort of conjuring up a response to that will be, you know, right on the tip of both of our tongues, really. For me, and our responses will be slightly different. But for me, I cannot point you right now to a specific odu that speaks about this. But as a spiritualist and one who's an expert in spiritism and having had communication within the spirit realm, indeed, we are being called to do some very specific things right now through these changes. Now, for me personally, and how I have come to understand it through my guides and my elders and my ancestors, all this technology is really geared to free up more time for us to commit to spirit. And that is something that we have been neglecting. Some people look at it as going back to the old ways. And indeed, there is an element of going back to the old ways. When you talk about saving the planet, when you talk about doing things green, you're talking about growing your own food. You're talking about having herbs and vegetables in your yard and not chemicals and an artificial lawn and killing off all the edible stuff in your yard, like your dandelions and your clovers. Things that we eat or use in ceremony. We're definitely being called. Many people are looking to 2012 and the messages that branch of our lineage has left about what these changes are. But indeed, for me personally, there is a going back in order to move forward, a simplifying, a reprioritizing what is important. Many of us have spent many years feeding money into houses that are not worth anything now, buying the new model of whatever vehicle every year, just now to have to completely convert to a whole new fueling system, you know, in order to survive into the future. And one of my mentors, Adama Alaji out of Atlanta, talks about our qualifying or requalifying for existence. And I believe Oludamari, nature, Mother Earth, is requiring us to requalify not only for existence, but for divinity, which requires us changing our behaviors in a dramatic and drastic way, particularly right now in this dispensation, if you want to talk about cosmology and astrology and numerology and the time in the seasons. That doorway is open right now for alignment. Even if we look at it from a metaphysical perspective and the lining up of the planets, we're talking about alignment and doing it in a natural and a pure way as opposed to a artificially forced, manufactured political way that we've sort of sunk into over the last century or two or three.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and that really resonates with me on so many different levels, and I understand what you're saying. I guess I had been asking for more public discussion, more in the Ifa community, for more unity regarding some of these very, very essential questions. I, as a person who works in medicine and healing arts, I find that it's much more easier, I mean, fingertip accessible for certain energies. It's almost like you said we're going back to an ancient future. Quantum physics is now. And I just wondered how I was looking for a much more public discussion in Ifa from people such as yourselves and the Baba Laos around what does it mean for us? How do we engage this? Because it is a question not just for Ifa worshippers, but for the entire planet. And I think we have a duty and a mandate, a responsibility, if you will, to ignite this dialogue publicly among ourselves, not just here in the West, but perhaps in Africa. I haven't been there in a few years, but I just really feel that we're at this tipping point. There's critical mass, and we have so much available, and a lot of us are still sort of consumed with ritual, not to minimize the importance of ritual, but a lot of us are still consumed with things that I think are perhaps maybe a little anachronistic, if that's making sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if I may, I want to point you to one website, and then applaud you for voicing the concerns of our future. You know, that's the ancient voice of the future that I'm hearing you speak with. There's a website that that I host, because this is the core of my work, sustainability. It's Ola16, OLA16.weebly.com. Ola16.weebly.com. And
okay.
On that site, I have, it's kind of interactive, you know, if a person really looks at it. It encourages people from who are devotees of all of the divinities to identify those small ways in which they can create more continuity and congruence between their everyday lives and the living planet that we ultimately are serving and is nurturing us. And so I invite you to check that out, and there's a subscribe area there. You can subscribe, and as things come together and we do really find a critical mass of people who want to act, then we'll be able to organize people. I have a complete workshop. It's not even a workshop. I have a complete social mobilization program. So in other words, if you can get together 100 people in a room who want to move, I can lay out an entire program for those 100 people to turn to 1,000 people in a month, and for those 1,000 people to turn into 5,000 people in 3 months.
Okay.
I've done that before, and I will be more than happy to do it in Florida or New York or Texas or anywhere in the world. People have a value for it. The key is really finding the people who have a value for it and understand that, you know, it's something that we can really manage. The backstory to that is this: I was invited to do this kind of work in a corporate setting with very large corporations, Fortune 100 corporations, who understand this from a business perspective. And people are cynical about it, but it's true. The larger corporations understand sustainability, and they are genuinely approaching sustainability within the confines of what they do. Now, we as priests and lay people also need to approach sustainability. We need to understand the value of it and approach it seriously from what we do. When there are no more leopards, then what are you going to do? When there are no more iroko trees, what are you going to do? When there are no more palm trees, what are you going to do? When there are no more fish, what are you going to do? If you are a follower of Yemanja, but you're using chemicals to wash your hair and run it down into the river every day, what are you doing?
Right.
If you're a devotee of Oya and you're spraying aerosol into all over the place, what are you doing? You understand what I'm saying? Those are that kind of mindfulness that we can bring to people and show them really small things that have a huge impact. So those are the things that I believe are you know, very quick responses, but meaningful responses. If you have a group of people, or even just you yourself, want to integrate the Orisha consciousness into a more sustainable movement, we have everything we need.
I appreciate
because
that. I have heard of it. Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I want to be clear that it's being done. It's just being done on a small scale right now. And as you suggested, we needed to bring it to a larger, more public forum across counties, across cities, across state lines, across country lines, and bring it together in a more unified pattern.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much, and I look forward to hearing more. I will be in touch. I've been teaching for a very long time, most of my life, on, you know, just awareness about nutrition and sustainability and all the things that you just mentioned, and I'm very passionate about it, and I have a lot of concern about not just for our community, but I really wanted to find that direction in IFA, to really get that understanding from IFA as to, you know, what is our responsibility, because I see it here where people still do reckless things in the Santeria, the Vodun, the Ifa communities, excuse me, the traditional communities. I see things that I regard as non-essential and in fact downright antithetical even and destructive. And so that's part of my concern. How do we begin to engage? And, you know, like I remember my Baba many years ago, 17, 20 years ago, he and I would have butt heads about animal sacrifice. Is it essential? Is it necessary? And I remain personally opposed to it. That's just my thing. But he, as the Awishe, agreed. He said, yes, there has to come a point where we evolve. We evolve into understanding that why are these animals so precious, and perhaps the exchange of blood is not essential if there are substitutes. So in my own personal practice, we tried at all costs to avoid blood sacrifice because we understand, but we also understand that animals emote. They do the same biochemistry that we do. They feel, they communicate, they just resonating at a different frequency than we can understand. Just like the plants are, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are compelled by tradition to keep doing this. This is what I'm saying. The 401, the plus one, is interpreted as possibility and probability and change. And so these are the questions I'd like to hear far more dialoguing about, so we can make that quantum leap into really internationalizing what indigenous traditions are really about, saving the planet. But I do thank you for your time.
Well, yes, certainly appreciate your call and invite you to always call in.
What we also have to realize is that even before we come to the place where, I believe for us, especially as Americans, the approach to are the blood sacrifices necessary begins with the understanding that we as Americans make up only 5% of the world population. Mm-hmm. But in the first year of our life, we will consume more than the average indigenous person will consume in their entire life.
Right, I'm aware of that.
We will generate more waste in that time than they will generate in a whole lifetime. So a lot of the, you know, things that the Divine Prince brings forward on this show and we discuss regularly is that question of mindfulness. Do you know what you're approaching? Do you need this or do you want this? You know, is it the ego or is it the spirit that is driving you forward?
How much can you do with what you have
before you start taking in more? You know, because it's becoming a consumer again. I think was being mentioned before about consumerism. The idea of consumerism is, you know, is an psychologically driven.
Impulse for us, that's what we're responding to,
is like, I feel empty, so I'm going to buy this. I want to feel sexy, so I'm going to buy that. I feel angry, so I'm going to buy that. I want to be spiritual, so I'm going to buy this. And those are just placebos. You're not really getting the essence of what it is you want or what it is you're trying to become. And I think that is at the core of this idea of like, okay, well, the goat. Maybe I think I'm going to get this goat because, man, that's a big thing, and that's going to make a big impact. That's going to transform. Well, it'll have an impact, but you got to live the medicine. Once you sacrifice that goat, you got to quit smoking too. You got to go to Alcoholics Anonymous too. You got to make a sandwich at night instead of going to McDonald's tomorrow. You're going to have to live that medicine that Ifa has dictated. That your Orisha lifestyle has got to take effect in order for the medicine to really be real.
Yes, I concur. I couldn't agree more. Thank you again so much for your time, and I appreciate it. I will continue to listen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate
it. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, I most certainly agree with that. You know, I've talked about it sort of, you know, humorously and facetiously in the past, but seriously, you know, the love and relationship request, the, you know, I want to hit the lottery request, you know, it gets tiring. Even in the not fulfilling those requests, but just hearing them and having that continued symbolic representation that we are not truly moving forward at a spiritual level, it irritates my human nature, and I am indeed still human. We have got to take this to a higher level. Whatever your religious practice is, as I was listening to the sister speak, I was also thinking about the church, the mosque, other religions that are maybe not necessarily sacrificing animals, but are deeply involved in consumerism, and are not thinking about putting back, are not thinking about what they're adding to the community. So these practices, these rituals lose their power. They lose their value to some degree. If everybody can go and receive a sign, then what is a sign really? And what,
right.
What's the power behind it? And if we can take a shortcut here and take a shortcut there and sort of bring it together. But the flip side of that is, and sister, I'm often accused of being a part of the problem, and we often use the term or the phrase path mixing. I have received Lakomi initiations. I have received voodoo initiations. But I'm also well experienced, educated, initiated in hoodoo and obia. And I've been a Christian, and I grew up in the church. And I left church on Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock and walked to the mosque. And listen to Farrakhan and the Imam speak. So I understand that there is a connection at the spirit level between all of our practices, between all of our religions. But the unifying thing that ties them all together is spirit, is intention, and ultimately sustainability. Because I often ask the question, how is that working for you? How is that working for us? And as Baba said, when we use up the last sage plant, I talk about sage a lot. Every time someone breaks out a cone of sage in Congo Square, I go into a conniption. Not because we're using sage, but because you could be growing sage like I do in your yard, of various varieties of sage. You know, bringing even more creativity, even more power to your cleansing and your smudging ritual without wiping out the white sage family line in the plant kingdom, which is happening, whether you're aware of that or not. Those white sage cones are going extinct, and they're getting smaller if you've been buying them for some time for that reason. So I'm with the sister. I totally agree, but I also have to support what I believe I heard Baba saying, that particularly for us here in America, we have to go and start somewhere, and we have to go back to tradition. We cannot afford to take a shortcut right now,
right,
in this state, in our development here on this continent, because we're missing so much. You know, we're lacking so much information. We're lacking so much connection about who we are in our individual paths. So I agree with both of you. We've got to make some serious changes. I'm surprised Baba didn't mention it. We had also been talking off air about coming together in a public place, you know, and bringing people together here in California, Chicago, you know, and really taking our connection as a community to another level for sustainability, not only of the practice, not only of Ifa, but the community of people who are truly committed to traditional African-based religious paths and traditions, or we will go extinct.
Absolutely, because I think the information and the data is available. It's more available than ever. You know, you can if you're a little patient and you know how to communicate with people. You know, the kind of the nuts and bolts of it are easily accessible, but the actual practice has to play out in a context outside of your shrine, outside of my shrine, and that requires that we get together, that we face one another, and we actually work on something concrete. And, you know, I think a lot of our frustration and the misfires that arise are you know, kind of analogous to what happens on an army base, where you have all these soldiers who are trained. They've been, you know, spending year after year learning these maneuvers and how to use these different equipment, et cetera, and then they have nothing to do. Then you start having all kinds of problems on the base. Everywhere they go, they're fighting in bars, they're fighting each other. All these things start happening because, well, you got them all jacked up, and now they don't have anywhere to express it, all dressed up and nowhere to go, you know. And I think that's kind of what's happening where, again, they look at this idea of the images where this photographer and everybody's all worked up about it online. Well, because they know, we know, we have all this latent talent. We know we have all this capacity. We know we got all this free time, and we're not expending it towards something. And we just, I think, need the opportunity. Build it and they will come. When we create this opportunity for people to sit down in the room together, not just to make sacrifice, not just to do divination, but to actually look at, hey, there's a big vacant lot in my community. How about we clean up that eyesore? You know, how about we really put our hands on some real problems that are affecting all of our people, using the power and the wisdom of Orisha? And I'm going to allude to something that has been, you know, brought to me recently by one of the people who I serve. And, you know, he works in the realm of social work. And so we have been talking and talking about how to integrate his practice, and so how to integrate the spiritual practice into his professional practice. And so we started that conversation to widen the circle to bring more people, because coincidentally there are several people who are social workers and public servants who I serve. And so we're going to broaden that circle so that we can actually do some work right here in our community around some of the things that are happening, you know, that would be categorized as, you know, pathologies and that kind of stuff. But using the wisdom and the power of Orisha so that it can become more than a religion, but actually live up to what it ought to be, what it was meant to be, which is a lifestyle, which is a perspective, a worldview, and something that is infused into everything that you do. Like Orumila gave us in the beginning, some are farmers, some are hunters, some are sculptors, some are weavers. That's not by accident. That's by divine ordinance from Olodumare himself, spoken by Oromila into the ears of our ancestors. And so delivering on the ancestral promise means being a pottery maker, you know, it means being a painter, it means being a teacher, you know, it means being a cab driver. All of that is divine.
And archiving, saving, utilizing the work. Another friend of mine was talking about the Oriki, and I'm surprised at how many of us haven't memorized Oriki, don't adequately know the Oriki's that associate with the Orisha. So when I hear I'm bored, I don't have enough to do, that's another one in my taboo, and it gets stuck in my crawl because there's too much work for us to do. Not just for ourselves, but for others in our community. We are not only actively attacking the whole mental health component here in New Orleans, but also looking at our vegetation, our plants, our herbs, and something that is unique here that came to mind as the sister was speaking was environment. I think, too, environment is important in the livelihoods of the practitioners of these traditions, but the traditions themselves. And often, and some would say it's a prejudice, but I often encourage people to move south or move west or move into warmer climates where we can grow plants, where we can keep our herbs alive. We have a large Nigerian community here who bring the African water leaves back. Somehow they have them wrapped up in newspaper and in their luggage and stuff, and we are able to plant them and regrow them, and we have them in abundance here now. And we're developing a more cooperative attitude as it applies to our plants. Often one person will have too much of one thing and not enough of other things to bring balance not only to your diet but to the availability of plants and herbs and things that we need within the tradition. So there's just too many things that we could be doing and committing to for ourselves as well as the community to move us all forward in terms of sustainability, but also in terms of just being whole, you know, with all the other things that we have to deal with in this society. I know you said you were on a schedule, so I'm trying to play it by ear here because I don't know exactly what time you need to depart. Baba.
Oh, yes. I have an appointment. I've got about 10 more minutes, and then I'll have to sign off.
Okay, so I'm going to allow you, if you will, to share any further messages or information that you wanted to give. And then after you're ready to depart, we'll put on a song and then we'll come back and we'll do the rest of it if I want to say.
I see. Thank you so much. You know, I always say thank you. I you know, if God does encourage us to give thanks because it's giving thanks that is the first step towards our next blessing. And so I do give thanks for this venue and the forum that allows us to share, not only in the moment, because I learn something every time we talk, every time, but also for the people who are listening and will be able to go back in their own time and listen to the archives and also be enriched and share the lessons. And that's the key. It really is having the courage and the curiosity to share what you learned, what you heard, what you felt, what you thought during these conversations. Share it with people, you know, and if it moves you, respond. Don't just sit on it. Respond. Send the Divine Prince a message. Send me a message. Call. If you know people, you know, right now, I'm really interested in getting out, not only to meet people myself, but to also facilitate some discussion and dialogue with people, between themselves, between one another. That's part of what I do. You know, it's one of the things that is very, it gives me a great joy, but I know it's effective, you know. And so wherever you are, if you believe there are 10 people you can get into the room or 100 people you can get into the room, I will be there. I will be more than happy to support and enable and facilitate some real healthy and progressive and action-oriented discussion around the things that we've described, partly because of, you know, that relationship between Orumila and Eshu. Orumila and Eshu, they're inseparable because Orumila is the knowledge, is the potential, right? But, you know, knowledge in and of itself is not power. Action is power, and Eshu is action. You can't have issue without action, without dynamism, without manifestation. And it's that reciprocal relationship between their principles that make the universe hum. There's another verse of Hiroshi Obata that tells us that the principle of reciprocity is what makes the world peaceful and habitable. The principle of reciprocity is what makes the world peaceful and habitable. This was the message for Oromila when he was going to this ancient land of Otuife. He was going there to teach the people home conduct. He was going to teach the people to transmit agricultural and business knowledge. So what you were just saying about getting the plants and trading them, and someone's got too much of this and not enough of that, this is all what Oromila has commanded that we do. He's enabled us to do. He's given us the ashe as people to be able to do these things if we would only respond to the impulse within ourselves. The medicine inside the bottle is not going to cure you. You got to take it out. If the medicine is supposed to be taken every day with meals for 21 days, guess what? You got to take that medicine every day for 21 days with meals. That's the only way it's going to work. We've been given the medicine by Hiroshi Obata and many other Ojus to say, hey, do your business and do it together. Do it with deliberation and intention, and you will live in a more peaceful world. But in how many communities are we taking it upon ourselves to actually live that medicine? From what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing in many instances, it's very few and far between. And, you know, part of that has to do with our American condition, which really reinforces all this individualism, all this me by myself, and I'm afraid of everybody, I'm afraid of everything, you know, or everybody's got to be perfect just for me to work with them. They've got to be perfect. You know, I like what you said about Mama Yeye. You know, it was very real and candid. Man, Mama Yeye can get loud on you, you know. But I'm not going to discount Mama Yeye as a wise source because she can get loud. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to eliminate this person as a link to my own development because they have a personality quirk that I don't like. It's not about you liking everything about everybody. It's about understanding what you have to give and what you have to receive, reciprocity. And once you value that in the big picture, then those little quirks are just, they're like a tree. You know, you see the tree and it bends this way and it bends that way and it's got a knot over here and a knot over there. But is that tree less perfect because it has a knot and because it's twisted? Of course not.
You got to
tree
got
does exactly what it's supposed to be.
You got to get through that shell. But you value the process of getting through that shell for the meat.
That's right. You got to go there. And then once you've gotten it, then you got your blessing, you know. So one more verse, and then I have to turn it back over to you. And this one is one that's, you know, referred to many times that tells us that the forest tree is lonesome in the forest. It's about individualism. You know, when we think about the value of being an individual and being by ourselves, it's like kind of reminding us that we belong here together. The forest tree is lonesome in the forest. The flood with its own flowing tide. Fellow human beings provide more warmth in times of cold than clothes. These were the messages for Oromila when he was going to the forest of gathering one's kith and kin. He was advised to make sacrifice. People should gather their kith and kin. There is nothing as good as bringing one's people together. There's nothing as good as bringing one's people together. I pray that we will bring ourselves together, that we will find the courage and the willingness and the flexibility emotionally and intellectually to sit down with one another, to break bread with one another, to shake hands with one another, to share common vision with one another and actively work together with one another for the greatest good, because it is in living that medicine collectively that we will realize the power and the wisdom of the ancestors and of Olodumare
in this time, we don't have to disappear and go off to some magical place. We can enjoy a blissful life right here on earth together if we will respond to that impulse within our hearts and in our minds that we wake up with every single day. So I pray that someone, everyone, will respond to that calling to be together with one another today in small ways and large. Ashe.
Ashe, Ashe, and Odabo, we most certainly do appreciate that message. It reaffirms a message that I have been sharing for some time now, and that is that there is no isolation within these traditions. You cannot practice Ifa in isolation. You cannot practice Lokomi in isolation. We have scenarios, we have events, we have seasons in our life when we are by ourselves for a moment or for a time or for a season. But you cannot actively be a part of these traditions and acting out and practicing these traditions in isolation. And this culture, this society has sort of reaffirmed and reinforced a very artificial sense of aloneness, isolation, me, myself, and I, me against the world, you know, and all those familiar limericks that we know that reinforce that attitude that it's just me and I'm here. Though you live in L.A., though you live in New York, though you live in Chicago, you know, stacked up on each other, we still have this sense, this feeling, what I believe to be this illusion of aloneness and separateness and isolation. Even when we look at living green and caring for our community, for our water, for our land, my trash becomes your trash. My pollution becomes your pollution. What I do absolutely affects you. So this culture, this modernized Western artificial culture has given us a very unreal sense of what being independent is, what being strong within self is, and we believe it to be separate from the rest of our community, the separate from the rest of the world. So even in mental health, when we look at depression and other forms of anxieties, there's a component there that is directly connected to how we operate and communicate and get along with in the world. And a healing solution for that, in most cases, is exposure to other people, to other people's needs, to other people's desires, doing things together, doing things collectively, sharing Ashe. That is one of the mysteries of Ifa, is Ashe. You cannot authentically, legitimately operate within these traditions without sharing Ashe. Listen to me. The Babalawo, the priest who sacrifices and bless and consecrates your hand, your implements, your pot, is sharing their Ashe. And all the people who are part of that ceremony share their Ashe. So there is no individualism in that way within these traditions. There is no separateness in that way within these traditions. And that's why there are those like Mama Yeye and others who are orthodox, for lack of better words, traditionalist in terms of how things are done. That is why there's such fire behind why things have to be done a certain way, because it affects the Ashe, it affects the well-being, it affects the sustainability, it affects the continuation throughout the community and ultimately throughout the world. So indeed, what I do for myself, to myself, here and now, affects you. It affects my children. It affects my children's playmates. It affects my neighbors. It affects the people that I shop with, that I park next to. You know, all these things. We have got to reaffirm our connectedness. I'm often sent requests by people who want to learn Ifa, who want to learn Lokomi, who want to learn Voodoo, want to be initiated into the traditions. And we all come with needs for ourselves. We might need healing. We might need prosperity. We might need some other divine spiritual intervention in our lives. But ultimately, we have to do the work, and doing the work involves other people. There's just no way around that. So I invite you to come out, be a part of the community, be a part of the family, be a part, an active part of this tradition and this community, be an active part of the sustainability of this tradition and this community, in whatever way Spirit guides for you to do. But do something beyond self. What I do every Sunday in Congo Square is beyond self. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm not financially well off, okay? I could use $30 in my pocket every Sunday rather than paying for a cab. You know, I could use the $50, $60 that I spend on fruits and vegetables and wine and liquors and coffee and teas and juices and all the other things that we use to pour libations and offerings there. I could very easily say I have my needs. I could very easily say my power about to be cut off. I could very easily say, I owe my landlord, you know, back rent. But I do what I do because I have not only seen the manifestation, the evidence, the productivity of Spirit in my life, but in the lives of people around me and in the lives of people within our community. Ultimately, it affects the whole. So we must get back to being real and what real is. We want traditional African religion. Without thinking about traditional African culture, without thinking about indigenous society, without thinking about the rules, the livelihoods, the manner in which we operate and did operate within those communities, that has to become a part of who we are today, what we are today, and how we interact today. Some of you cannot deal with a handful of people for more than an hour. We need to look at that. We need to address that. Some of you cannot be a part of a group or an organization consistently over months, over years, over decades, without the fallout, without the issue, without the drama, without the he said, she said, without the backbiting, without all the other stuff that we have picked up in Western culture. We have picked up in colonialism. We have picked up in the evils that exist in the world that we now inhabit today. And in returning to Spirit, whatever your religious path is, right? Church, the mosque, the temple, synagogue, when returning to Spirit, we have to cleanse ourselves of all the muck, all the misprogramming, all the evil that we have picked up, and begin anew and retune, if you will, our vibration to a pure, unadulterated vibration. Whatever your practice is, I can guarantee you in so doing, you'll find fruitfulness. You'll find benefit. And if you are finding the block, because you are not willing to do the work. You just heard Baba talk about it. You know, spending a lot of money on ritual stuff is a part of the work, but that's not the work. Some of you don't want to spend any money on the ritual stuff. Some of you don't want to go through a ceremony, but that is a part of the work. Understand, everything that we do, our going back and forth, our cleaning, our getting organized, our getting prepared, our setting up, all these things are part of the work. And those who are committed to the work are seeing results. Are seeing results. Now, you might not be able to go to Ms. Cleo or some of your TV psychics and see evidence of that work, but you cannot, none of you can deny that the divine prince is not presenting and bringing forth evidence of the work. Not just lip service. You're seeing video. You're seeing photographs. You're seeing documentation of the work being done collectively at the communal level. Not locked up in some private room in the back of my house, but out there in the community with our elders, with our children, with our brothers, with our sisters, with each other. Do we have to get ourselves together? Absolutely. Crucial that we get ourselves together? Absolutely. But a part of that process involves the people around you and your community. It is not just about you in that way. So if you are finding that you are not getting it, Oshun ain't giving you what you want, Yimiyad, Eshu, I'm telling you, commit to the work, the doors will be open. In the most miraculous way, doors will be open. And some of you are waiting on it to knock on your door. Can it knock on your door? Absolutely. But don't hold your breath. Don't wait on that. That's a rare and miraculous event. Spirit requires, Olodumare requires, Egoons require that we do the work. Sometimes when you need, you know, some adjustment, just go back and think about the lives of our ancestors. When we think about what's hard, when we think about what's hot, when we think about what's cold, when we think about what's too much sun, when we think about what's too much rain, when we think about what's too much wind, when we think about what's too much work, just think back to the Ebo, to the offering, to the sacrifice made by those who got us here to this point in time and space today. For without their effort, without their livelihoods, without their survival, without their unions and their marriages and their having children and their building upon family, none of us would be here today. I will be forward with more of Ifa Wednesday here on the Power Lunch. Our live listening and calling number 347-215-8967. Do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad when you are ready with your question, comment, or request. I will be forward momentarily. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Iya mi abara gada o nare iseni lowo. Yemaya eni male ye a dendere o ni lo yu yemaya dendere ago emi soro vele bio kangiya emi a dendere kwe kwe ye a dendere ayaba a chamadima o chamadima ruma ibara fumo lo yu iwo dara wana ye unele de abu akuko a jankwan Devoro lo dumare Yemaya agualagua, 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 yeile, yelodo, y yeile, yelodo ni wo, bobo unawe, ni aboyo yemaya o.
Y está, llore, ore, mire.
and everyone in your divine, all blessed presence here for the Power Lunch Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes today, October 3rd, 2012, for DeFi Wednesday. We most certainly appreciate our co-host, Oregunwa Obafemio, as well as, I said that backwards, Obafemio Oregunwa, as well as all of our callers who did call in today and participated actively in the show. We most certainly do appreciate our callers always and ask that if you do need any further assistance from either of us, that you would go to the show page and follow our contact information. We are also both available by way of Facebook, Obafemi Oregunwa and the Divine Prince Tiamaka. So we are here for you and with you in your endeavors. Myself personally, and I'll probably say it way too much, I'm not a talker. I've never been a talker. I know that comes as a shock to many of you who are now listening to a blog talk radio show. I am articulate. I am gifted in communication. It is an integral part of my work and what I do to consult and to be able to communicate the work, if you will, to people and back through spirit, through me. But I am specifically a work-oriented practitioner. When you visit my Desto page, when you visit my Live Person page, when you visit my Keen page, and many of the places that I can be found online, a large majority of the comments and ratings that you are seeing people and you are reading left by previous clients is for work. Talk is great, and I try and simplify and make things as clear as possible, and when people are ready to receive, they do. We listen, we hear, and we internalize, and we process. But ultimately, for me, and this is a personal preference, and it is in line with my personal path in Ifa, my Odu in Ifa, that I am called to do the work. Erosan Ose has called me to do the work. And under that Odu, my work, without ego, my work is above all things, unchallengeable, unshakable. And it shows up in the responses that you have heard, that you have read, in terms of people and their relationship to the work. That was not my choosing. That was my calling, if you will. And I gained that calling through hardship. We often look at celebrities, the wealthy, the rich, the famous, and covet their position without knowing what they have contracted to, without knowing what they have sacrificed, without knowing what blood may be on their hands that made the way for them to be in that position, in that place, as we stand back on the outside looking in and see it. But for me, and the reason that I boldly stand on result-oriented work and results is because that's my Odu. That is my life path. That is my call. I cannot lay that charge down even if I wanted to. And believe me, listeners, I've tried on more than one occasion. It gets to be tiring. It gets to be overwhelming dealing with other people's stuff. And a part of my call is, you know, everyone has a particular group vibration, if you will, that's attracted, that's called to them for work. But many of those who are called to my ministry come from very traumatic backgrounds. I had a very traumatic background. So many of my God children, many of the priests and priestesses that work with me come from some dramatic backgrounds. Thus, becoming a part of our elbow, reinforcing the work. It is why people come to me in the most extreme of circumstances, because I have access to that ashe through sacrifice. And another word in our tradition for sacrifice is epo. When we labor to put our children through college or to put ourselves through college, that is our epo, so that your grandmama is banking on your successful completion. Your parents are banking on your successful completion. Not necessarily so they can live a good and lavish life, though that should be an inevitable outcome, that you can now afford to take care of your parents and your grandparents and your children comfortably. But I'm trying to get you to understand the cycle of Ebo and what Baba and myself were talking about periodically during the show when we referred back to that Ebo and putting in that work. In this culture, excuse me, and as descendants of enslavement, we associate struggle automatically. Chemicals start to move. You know, lightning goes off in your head. All kinds of things transpire within us, even at the subatomic level, just at the word struggle, just at the word sacrifice. For many of us, at the word work, we tense up. Some of you get ill every morning right before you know you have to get up and make that journey to that workplace. What balances out that energy is being completely committed to spirit. What makes that journey joyful for the Christian, joyful for the Muslim, joyful for the practitioner of Lokomi, joyful for the practitioner of Voodoo, is they have come to the place of transfiguration in terms of what work, what sacrifice, what ebo is. So our efforts, rain or shine, with a purpose, not just efforts and work for the sake of efforts and work, efforts and work with a purpose, with a goal, establishes a journey. So when you're on a journey, then you know, okay, I'm going to end up somewhere interesting, somewhere powerful, somewhere necessary, and this is a part of that process. That brings life, that brings joy to your ebo. A question that I'm asked weekly by somebody, and I still don't answer it, is what do we do with perishables? Let me be clear. There is protocol established under the tradition within your path and your lineage that dictates what we do with the perishables. And that is not always the same thing every time, every situation, every ceremony, every offering. And there is a process involved in determining that. That is clear for the initiate and the uninitiated. What you, beloved, are struggling against is what you're hearing that I'm not actually saying, which is, commit. Which lineage? What's your path? Who are your godparents? Sometimes that's my answer. Ask your godmama. And am I being facetious? Sometimes, yeah. Because I already know what the answer is. Because if you were doing it according to the rules, you would have asked your godmama and not me. And you would know what is happening to the offerings, even if you don't know what's happening specifically to my offerings, okay? So if, you know, let's get serious, if nothing else. If we don't get nothing else from 2012 and the shift and the transformation and 12/12/12 and December 12th, and, you know, the Mayan prediction and prophecy, and if we don't get anything else, we have got to get serious about the work. Just as serious about the work as you are about the results. And some of you want some pretty big stuff from me, from spirit, from the universe. And let me tell you, I'm all for it. I back you 100%. I'm a believer in following spirit, and we are not all called to do the same thing. So I support you in your grand scale ideas, dreams, notions, endeavors. But if you're going to ask me to assist you, ask me to pull behind you, you better be ready to do some work. Because I'm a Labor Day Virgo, Labor Day Virgo, September 5th. I'm about doing the work. I don't have a choice around it. Nothing has ever been given to me. Nothing has ever been offered freely to me. I've had to do. So I know what doing is. I know what the effort is. I know what the struggle is. Baba talked about eating a sandwich and counting pennies and budgeting. And I know what that is. I've been homeless. I've been out. I've been without. And I manage to get the work done. So know that I am here and for you each and every day with Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio for the Power Lunch. All is a blessing. Ashe.
Ogere la biri la bi, 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 ogere agua un choro. Ogere la biri la bi,
ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi, ogere la monjoro, ogere la biri la bi.
Ogere la biri la bi, ogere ni la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi. Ogere agua un choro, ogere la biri la bi.
Ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi. Ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi. Ogere agua un choro, ogere la biri la bi.
Agayu ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi. Ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi. Ogere agua un choro, ogere la biri la bi.
Ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi. Ogere la biri la bi, ogere la biri la bi. Ogere agua un choro, ogere la biri la bi.
Ogere iyao, o babilo guana.
Ogere iyao, o babilo guana.
Ogere iyao, babilo guana.
Babilo
kwana le kun le kun o babilo kwana
Yebele kun le kun le kun o babilo kwana
Yebele kun le kun le kun o babilo kwana
Yebele kun le kun le kun o babilo kwana
Yebele kun le kun le kun o babilo kwana
Yebele kun le kun le kun o babilo
kwana Imobatele 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 woruita kun o batele emio dodo Oro mi chango, mo batele kokoko.
Imo batele, imo batele. Imo batele, imo batele. Kemio dodo, oro mi chango, imo batele kokoko.
Imo batele, agayucho la, mo batele. Mo batele, agayucho la.
lamo batele, emi ododo oro mi chango mo batele koko ko.
Mo batele, mo batele, mo batele, mo batele, emi ododo oro mi chango mo batele koko ko.
Mo batele, mo batele, oh mo batele agayu chola mo batele. Emi ododo oro mi chango mo batele koko ko.
Mo batele. Imo batele, imo batele, imo batele. Emi ododo, olomi
chango, imo batele koko. Omo batele agayu chola mo batele, mo batele agayu chola mo batele. Emi ododo, olomi chango, mo batele koko.
Imo batele, imo batele, imo batele, imo batele.
Omo batele, omo batele, emi ododo, oro mi chango, omo batele, koko koko.
Imo batele, imo batele, imo batele, imo batele, imo batele, emi ododo, oro mi chango, imo batele, koko koko.
Alado tu nyenye kawo, tu nyenye yo.
Alado tu nyenye kawo,
tu nyenye yo.
Alado tu nyenye kawo.
Yeah.